At Tuesday night's Bullock County Board of Commissioners meeting, tensions flared during an exchange between Bullock Action Coalition, BAC, leader Lawton Sack and the commissioners. The discussion was set off by Marcus Toole's comments during the public comments about the waste of taxpayer money on legal battles over city annexations. He criticized efforts to push the county into intervening, suggesting that it leads to nothing but expensive legal fees without any real change. Toole also referenced the settlement involving the Downtown Development Authority, accusing some of the most vocal critics of taxes of draining $80,000 from funds meant to support local commerce. Toole works for Habit for Humanity, one of the advocacy organizations the Bullock Action Coalition used in their complaint that other advocacy groups were allowed in like Habitat when the Bullock Action Coalition was asked not to come back. Click here to read about First Friday family events cancelled after First Amendment challenge. Lawton Sack approached the podium to defend his group, the Bullock Action Coalition, correcting what he saw as false information. He stated that the $80,000 settlement was paid by insurance, not taxpayers, and reiterated their First Amendment right to participate in First Friday events. Sack emphasized that their fight wasn't about causing trouble but about standing up for their rights as citizens, a principle his grandfather fought for in World War II. Despite the legal struggle, he stated they would continue to exercise their free speech, refusing to be silenced or intimidated. Commissioner Anthony Simmons responded by defending the First Friday events, noting they've been a staple since 2009 with no issues. He has citizens who he represents that are angry that First Friday events have been cancelled in response to legal action taken by the Bullock Action Coalition. He then pressed Sack on how he planned to use the settlement money. Sack replied that it would be spent on legal fees and taxes. Sack stated that taxes would exceed $35,000. Commissioner Simmons reminded Sack that the $80,000 from the settlement was tax dollars no matter how he explains it. The insurance premiums are paid by tax dollars. The premiums now will increase due to the settlement. He pointed out to Sack, as someone who is concerned about how tax dollars are spent, that he is certain they would use the funds to help members of the community, like donating it to the Statesboro Food Bank. He then asked Sack if he was indeed a minister. Sack responded that he was. Commissioner Kurt Deal questioned whether Sack believed he had the right to break the rules, to which Sack responded that he had not violated any and would not be intimidated. Chairman Roy Thompson then asked Sack if he had ever been denied the right to speak at any previous meetings, making the point that they do not silence voices at these gatherings. Continue reading for all business covered in the meeting. The bi-monthly commission meeting opened up with Chairman Thompson welcoming everyone to the meeting, followed by Commissioner Timmy Rushing leading the prayer and pledge of allegiance. Clerk of the Board Venus Mincy White then called roll, and determined that all commissioners were in attendance. Zoning Agenda. Approved. 1. Quality Home Development, LLC, Rocky Cellars as agent, applied for a variance to reduce a 40-feet front setback to 30. The property is located at 1421 Jordan Drive, lot number 101 in Meadow Lakes Subdivision. Planning and Zoning Commission heard this request on May 9, 2024. The request was denied by a 4-1 vote. Approved. 2. Chance Riccio has submitted an application to rezone approximately 5.85 acres from a G5, agricultural 5 acres, to HC, highway commercial, for the purpose of operating an automotive repair business. The property is located at 24333 U.S. Highway 80 West, approved. 3. Edwin F. Smith has applied for a rezone from a G5 to general commercial for the operation of a grocery store. The property is located at 4721 Highway 67, approved. 4. Eddie Crawford has applied for a conditional use to allow for a daycare at his residence. The property is located at 418 Charleston Avenue. Corrine Cotton will serve as agent. Approved. Consent Agenda. Commissioner Timmy Rushing motioned to move items 13 and 14 to new business, and Commissioner Toby Connor asked to be excused from the hearing due to family matters. The commissioners then voted that he did not have to be excused. 1. Minutes Approval. Monday, August 12, 2024, 5:30 p.m. 2. Minutes approval. Tuesday, August 20, 2024, 8:30 a.m. 3. Minutes approval. Friday, August 23, 2024, 8:30 a.m. 4. Motion to approve the reappointment of Walter Gibson to the Coastal Regional Commission Council of Georgia 5. Motion to approve the reappointment of Benji Thompson to the Middle Coastal Unified Development Authority 6. Motion to approve a sole source purchase of a water play structure replacement at Splash in the Borough. Splash in the Borough Family Water Park and Aquatic Center is requesting the purchase of a new interactive koala aquatic play structure, bucket play pool replacement. This play structure is listed on the FY25 CIP budget schedule, project IDSPLA04, $800,000. The current play structure is 20 years old, which is the maximum lifespan of the structure with proper maintenance. My Park Supply LLC provided a sole source letter and quote of $682,113 for the purchase of a new play structure. The structure being requested will have an average lifespan of 30 plus years with proper maintenance. It is the recommendation of Aquatics Division Manager, Alex Estrada, to accept the sole source quote from My Park Supply LLC in the amount of $682,113. Motion to approve the purchase of two 2024 Ford F-250 crew cab pickup trucks with 8-foot service bodies to include ladder racks from Allen Vigil Ford Lincoln Government Sales in the amount of $62,977 each for a total of $125,954. The Bullitt County Building and Facilities Department was approved for the purchase of 2 vehicles in the FY25 CIP budget. The purchase of these vehicles will come from SPLOST funds. The vehicles are being requested to be purchased from Allen Vigil Ford Lincoln Government Sales through the State of Georgia State Vehicle Contracts. Ford Manufacturing has not yet closed the purchasing window for 2024 Ford trucks. We can still purchase a new 2024 F-250 with the MY24 pricing. Approval is recommended 8. Motion to approve the purchase of one 2024 Ford F-150 from Allen Vigil Ford Lincoln Government Sales in the amount of $40,318. Bullitt County Parks and Recreation Department was approved for the purchase of a vehicle in the FY25 CIP budget for the Facility Operations Manager. The purchase of this vehicle will come from SPLOST funds. The vehicle is being requested to be purchased from Allen Vigil Ford Lincoln Government Sales through the State of Georgia State Vehicle Contracts. Ford Manufacturing has not yet closed the purchasing window for 2024 Ford trucks. We can still purchase a new 2024 F-150 with the MY24 pricing. Approval is recommended 9. Motion to approve a customer service agreement for janitorial supplies with UniFirst. Buildings and Facilities Department obtains doormats for multiple buildings replaced weekly by UniFirst. 10. Motion to approve a bid and enter into a contract with Sykes Brothers, Inc. for road repairs on various county roads, in the amount of $215,022.50, to be funded by TSP Lost. This contract includes removal of damaged areas of pavement and asphalt paving on various county roads. Locations include Buckhead Plantation, Twin Forks Road, Bowen Rushing Road, Burkhalter Road, Depot Drive, Williams Road, Brooklet Leafield Road, and the Health Department, DFACS parking lot. Sealed bids were received on August 22, 2024, as detailed in the attached memo from Faye Bragg, Purchasing Manager. The low bidder, Sykes Brothers, Inc., met all requirements of the county's bid specifications. The engineer's cost estimate for the project was $247,857.50. The low bid is below the estimated amount, and the bidder met all requirements of the county's bid specifications. The county engineer recommends approval. 11. Motion to approve and ratify an emergency rock purchase from Vulcan Materials Company during Tropical Storm Debbie. Emergency purchase of rock from Vulcan in the amount of $33,294.01, for 675.02 tons of stone to fix roads during, after Debbie. 12. Motion to approve and ratify an emergency rock purchase from Vulcan Materials Company during Tropical Storm Debbie. emergency purchase of rock from Vulcan in the amount of $32,348.35, for 774.81 tons of rock to fix roads during, after Storm Debbie. 13. Motion to approve and ratify the use of J.L. Derisso Trucking for rock hauling services due to Tropical Storm Debbie. During Storm Debbie, Public Works brought in J.L. Derisso Trucking to help haul extra tonnage of rock to fix roads. Between August 12 to 16, they did approximately 48 loads at cost of $28,754.27. 14. Motion to approve and ratify the use of J.L. Derisso Trucking for rock hauling services due to Tropical Storm Debbie. Public Works brought in J.L. Derisso Trucking with Storm Debbie to haul additional tonnages of rock for road repairs. During the week of August 19-23, they carried 54 loads of material, totaling 1,327 tons, from Augusta at a cost of $33,179.25. 15. Motion to grant a 2024 alcoholic beverage license for package retail beer, wine distilled spirit sales to Guninder Singh and Garanchal Singh for Buzzway, LLC. Located at 22963 U.S. Highway 80, Statesboro, Georgia. New business. Approved. 1. Motion to approve the sole source purchase of 4 mobile radios for EMS vehicles from Motorola Solutions. Bullock EMS requests approval of 4 mobile radios from Motorola Solutions in the amount of $27,795.30. We currently have 9 ambulances in our fleet. When we receive 3 of our new ambulances, we are going to increase that number to 11 ambulances. This means that 2 of our new trucks will not have mobile radios. The board has approved the purchase of 2 quick response vehicles that will also need mobile radios. This is a sole source request due to the continuation of work with Motorola Solutions and the county's radio system. Approved. 2. Motion to accept GDOT tentative allocation of federal and state funding for airport improvements. The Statesboro Bullock County Airport Committee recommends that the Bullock County Board of Commissioners confirm the intention of the commissioners to proceed with acceptance of the Georgia Department of Transportation, GDOT, tentative allocation of federal and state funding assistance for the improvements and projects described in the attached cover letter from Ms. Lee Ann Trainer for $4,437,224. This work is subject to a final bid process and will require matching funds from Bullock County, estimated not to exceed $568,300.74, to be paid out of airport reserves and 2024-2025 revenues. The county portion of the blended federal and state funding represents approximately 12.8% of the total cost of the projects. The projects include apron rehabilitation and repaving, site work, and the construction of an additional row of 10T hangars. The projects also include the site work necessary to accommodate 2 long-term ground rent tenant constructed corporate hangars. The committee wishes to thank GDOT Aviation Project Manager Lynn Thompson for his assistance along with GDOT Board Member Dan Snipes and the Bullock County Legislative Delegation, Speaker John Burns, Senator Billy Hickman, Rep. Butch Parrish, and Rep. Lehman Franklin. Approved. 3. Motion to approve and ratify hauling services by Sand Creek Land Construction, LLC for Tropical Storm Debbie repairs. Public Works used Sand Creek Construction to haul in additional rock and crush and run to aid in the road repairs due to Debbie. From August 12-16, they helped bring in 1,281 tons of material, at a cost of $23,976.92. Approved. 4. Motion to approve and ratify hauling services by Sand Creek Land Construction, LLC for Tropical Storm Debbie repairs. Public Works brought in Sand Creek Construction to aid in rock hauling from Augusta to help with dirt road repairs after Debbie. For the week of August 19 to 23, they did approximately 15 loads at a cost of $16,226.75. Public comments. Alicia Naville, BO Board Member-elect, took a moment during public comments to express her gratitude for the roadwork being done, particularly thanking Dink Butler. She mentioned how she's been advocating for the road crew, even suggesting folks apply for the open positions if they feel things need to move faster. She reminded the commissioners that building new schools takes 3 to 5 years, sharing insights from a recent meeting. Her main concern, though, was safety at the intersection of 301 and I-16. Naveel brought up past discussions about installing a traffic light there, noting how hazardous the area has become with increased traffic, including large trucks and vehicles heading to Georgia Southern. She asked if the commissioners recalled any plans for addressing the issue. County Engineer Brad Deal stated that it is being looked into by GDOT. Marcus Toole shared his thoughts with the commissioners in a straightforward manner. He emphasized that pressuring the county to interfere with city annexation efforts, especially for housing, is a waste of taxpayer money. He pointed out that such actions only lead to unnecessary legal fees for both the city and the county without changing any real outcomes, essentially burning tens of thousands of dollars. Toole also touched on the issue of taxes, referencing the recent settlement involving the Downtown Statesboro Development Authority. He highlighted how some of the loudest voices complaining about taxes are the same people who drained $80,000 from funds meant to boost commerce and, in turn, generate sales tax revenue for the county. His message was clear: mismanagement and unnecessary legal battles only hurt the community in the long run. Lawton Sack, leader of the Bullock Action Coalition, BAC, addressed the commissioners to clarify statements made by Toole. He emphasized that the $80,000 settlement Toole mentioned was covered by insurance, not taxpayer dollars. Insurance premiums are paid by tax dollars and will now increase due to the settlement. Sack also defended his group's participation in First Friday events, citing their First Amendment rights. He highlighted the importance of the Pledge of Allegiance, which underscores liberty and justice for all, even those who choose to criticize the government. Sack recounted how they initially sought a peaceful resolution with the Downtown Development Authority, consulting attorneys who assured them of their rights to participate. When their participation was blocked, they had no choice but to seek legal representation. Sack stressed that their fight wasn't about causing trouble, but about standing up for their rights as citizens, rights that his grandfather fought for in World War II. He reaffirmed his commitment to defending free speech for everyone, regardless of political affiliation, and condemned any attempts to intimidate or silence them. Sack concluded by questioning the need for a heavy police presence at the meeting, contrasting it with the past when no officers were necessary. He urged the commissioners to allow citizens to participate in government without fear or intimidation. Commissioner Anthony Simmons addressed Sack's comments by stating that the people who voted him in enjoyed the First Friday events. He spoke about how the events have been going on since 2009 and expressed disappointment with his voters. He then asked what will Lawton do with the money that was gained from the settlement. Lawton responded he and his supporters have been called troublemakers throughout this whole ordeal and will continue to fight for their First Amendment. He also stated that the money would be used for attorneys and taxes. Commissioner Kurt Deal asked Sack if he had the right to break the rules, to which Sack responded that he had broken none and he would not be intimidated in front of the crowd. Chairman Roy Thompson asked Sack if he had ever been denied the right to speak at any of the commissioners' meetings before, to which the response was no. Thompson wanted to make the point that they don't deny the right to speak at these meetings. Bill Emily raised concerns with the commissioners, questioning whether they truly listened to the 300 citizens who expressed their financial hardships before last year's budget, the 2022-2023 budget, was approved. The commissioners have now approved and set the millage rate for the 2024-2025 budget. He emphasized that despite the public's objections to property tax increases last year, the commissioners voted last year unanimously to pass the budget, leaving him to wonder if they were honoring the wishes of their constituents. Emily also brought up the ongoing questions around the Floridan aquifer and criticized the county for not holding an informative meeting for citizens, despite other agencies having done so. He voiced frustration over the financial struggles of senior citizens, whose Social Security checks have not kept pace with the county's tax increases. Emily pointed out the disparity between these struggles and what he sees as extravagant salaries and raises for county employees. His critique extended to spending on non-essential services, particularly the ongoing financial support for Splash in the borough, a facility he claims has been losing money. When asked for a solution, Emily suggested hiring someone to manage Splash in the borough more effectively, instead of continually funneling money into it. Commissioner Simmons asked Emily specifically what he would do differently. He asked how he would correct the issues he is so concerned about without impacting critical services to our community or services that directly impact the youth in our community in positive ways. Like providing jobs to teenagers and positive activities to participate in at Splash and through the Recreation Department. He asked Emily if he had taken any of that in consideration. Simmons went on to say there are not enough activities as it is to keep teenagers and children active and involved with positive activities that will impact them in positive ways. Emily often identifies himself as the leader of a 1,400-member organization representing senior citizens. Simmons asked for details on this organization, which Emily was not able to provide. He could not even remember the location of where the 1,400 people met to elect him as their representative. Simmons went on to say that Emily keeps coming to meetings and saying he represents all the senior citizens in our community, however, not one of the citizens who voted for him, Commissioner Simmons, and actually elected him to represent them has ever heard of him, nor knows who he is. Commissioner Simmons went on to defend their decisions, emphasizing the importance of funding essential services like 911 and rewarding employees for their hard work. Emily pushed back, referencing his experience in the U.S. Navy, where he said he worked for years without a pay raise, and reaffirmed his right to question how taxpayer money is being spent on non-essential projects. The staff explained that they have met with Emily for hours going over details of the budget and provided detailed explanations of how they make budget decisions. They offered once again to further discuss his concerns, inviting him one more time to engage in a more detailed conversation about county finances. Commission and staff comments. Assistant Public Works Director Robert Siemens updated the commissioners on the Hurricane Debby road repairs. The public works have been able to repair 15 roads over the last 2 weeks. We still have 7 semi-passable dirt roads. There are still 4 major washouts on some roads. Chairman Thompson thanks all of the Bullock County employees for all they do. Commissioner Ray Mosley also thanked the county employees for their dedication to getting these roads fixed so that people could make it to church on the weekends. Commissioner Simmons stated that he has 2 years left as a commissioner, and there is no time for fussing. If someone is coming to fuss with him at a meeting, from this point forward he will stand his ground and speak back. He is tired of being silenced during the meeting, especially while being attacked. He explained that First Amendment rights go both ways and he plans on expressing his more. View the live meeting here. View the agenda here.